There is very little in the Gospels that describe the life of Jesus when he was a boy or a teenager. In fact, if you take away the story of the Nativity in Luke, we would be left with almost no information on the life of Jesus from the time of his birth to the start of his ministry some 30 years later. There is a reason for this. Biographies written today would, of course, contain almost every detail of a person's life thought to be relevant to the audience for which it would be written. Moreover, in our present-day culture, we believe that childhood formation is critical to how a person might turn out. For example, if someone had a particularly harsh childhood and yet overcame many obstacles and challenges to become a person of public renown or prominence in a certain field, it would be interesting to know this information, as we would see them in a slightly different way. Their achievement would be all the more remarkable. In the time of Jesus, however, biographies were very different. The time of childhood was not considered of great importance to the person who was the object or the focus of the biography. For example, in the life of a king or a powerful, prominent person, if that were being written down, the story would start at the time of the king's coronation or when their special status began. Therefore, as the stories in the Gospels of Jesus were being chronicled on paper, they would, of course, start with his public ministry at the age of 30 and almost ignore altogether his childhood, his upbringing. Given this reality, it is very interesting that Luke would add the story that we just heard about Jesus as a boy at the age of 12, staying at the temple after his parents had left the festival of the Passover at Jerusalem that they were attending. Clearly, Luke feels this is an important story to add to the gospel, and I will try and explain why I think that is also the case. Before I do, one more note, though, of cultural context and historical accuracy. Modern-day parents might be shocked and aghast at this story because Mary and Joseph leave Jerusalem without their son Jesus and do not notice that he is not with them for one full day. In ancient Israel, extended families lived together in a very close-knit kind of way. The extended family, including aunts and uncles and grandparents and so forth, would have lived almost adjacent to each other in their village, quite literally just feet away from each other. And the job of raising the child was shared communally. In this case, the village did indeed raise the child. It is also true that the whole extended family would have traveled together to the festival of the Passover in Jerusalem. Therefore, when the family left to go back to their village, it is not completely outrageous to assume that Mary and Joseph thought Jesus was with another family member. In fact, this would have happened on a regular basis. And because it was a large extended family, the fact that Mary and Joseph would not notice Jesus' absence from them until one day later was not singularly unusual given the circumstances. However, when Mary and Joseph do realize that Jesus is not with them, they of course immediately go back and look for him in Jerusalem for 2 days. And do take a note of this often overlooked piece of information. They looked for their son for 2 days. 2 days must have seemed like a lifetime because Jerusalem, while not exactly a large metropolis even in ancient times, was nevertheless a bustling and somewhat dangerous city of commerce and trade, as well as a religious site. Moreover, there were, of course, no cell phones or other means of communication, and certainly no city police or civil authority that would help them or even be interested in the disappearance of one small boy. Losing a child in ancient times usually meant that the separation was permanent. And this could be for a whole host of reasons, including being caught up in the slave trade. The fact that Mary and Joseph found Jesus well and unharmed after 3 days is seemingly a miracle in and of itself. But Mary and Joseph do find their 12-year-old son, and it is then, of course, that the story, as told by the Gospel of Luke, gets interesting, and I would say even complex in an intriguing sort of way. The first point to make is the symbolic nature of the 3 days. Jesus is lost to his parents for these 3 days, and this clearly foreshadows the 3 days of Jesus' death after the resurrection. And similarly to the Easter story, Jesus' parents, like the disciples, would have been filled with despair and heartache at the loss. Of similar and even greater importance is that when Jesus, in a sense, reappears, he is not the same as he was before. In the Easter story, Jesus is, of course, resurrected and is unmistakably and manifestly different to those who find him and to those to whom he reappears. In the Lucan story, well, much subtler, I would say that Jesus is not the same little boy when Mary and Joseph rediscover him in the temple. There is an important separation here from his family, and I would like to explore that for a moment. When Mary and Joseph find Jesus in the temple, their little boy is surrounded by the religious leaders of the day, and according to the gospel, they are amazed at his understanding and his answers to their questions. However, Mary, acting as any loving mother would, confronts Jesus and tells him how anxious they were and they should not have treated him like that. They should not have treated them, his parents, like that. These are strong words from Mary, but they are entirely appropriate given the circumstances. And what does Jesus say in response? He says, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Well, I don't know about you, but I think that's just a little bit rude. If I were searching for my little boy for 3 days, and he said that to me, I think I would have a few choice words to express about being ungrateful. The gospel text says that Mary and Joseph did not understand what Jesus was saying to them. And I would like to explore that point for a brief moment as well. I believe there is something very important going on between Mary and Jesus when she finds him in the temple. Mary says to him, in effect, "Why have you done this to us? We were worried out of our minds." And Jesus answers, in effect, "Why were you worried? You should have known that I would be here." And at this point, we must use, I think, subtextual analysis, or in other words, looking at what is going on in between the dialogue. The gospel says Mary and Joseph did not know what Jesus was saying to them, but I believe that is not exactly the case. Mary and Joseph do not respond to Jesus' statement, but I am sure they had a profound reaction. I think Mary in particular would know in some way that what Jesus was saying. In some way or another, she would know that she just lost the relationship with her son that she just once had. In one way or another, both Mary and Joseph would know that Jesus was their son, but he truly belonged to God. When Jesus turned to them and said they should have known that he was in his Father's house, I believe that they knew, at least to some degree, that their familial tie had shifted, and that as far as Jesus was concerned, even at the tender age of 12, his true father was God and his true home was the temple. I feel for Mary and Joseph here, as Jesus' response to their worry is abrupt, but even more that they realize Jesus will become what was once foretold, not just to be their son, but also to be the Son of Man. I believe the Gospel of Luke to be a literary masterpiece, and as such, every story in it is carefully thought out, carefully written. We therefore come back to my original question of why this particular story is here. It is in part, I think, as discussed, to show us that Jesus has a family, but that he is growing away from them and growing toward the house of God. However, I also believe that there is an important message for all of us here as well. And let me try to explain it in this way. As I've mentioned a number of times, when I have time on my hand, one of the best things that I like to do is to read poetry. As I've mentioned before, one of my favorite poets is the modern American poet Mary Oliver, and I would like to read a poem of hers that relates to this very well. The poem is called The Eucharist. Something has happened to the bread and the wine. They have been blessed. What now? The body leans forward to receive the gift. from the priest's hand than the chalice. They are something else now from what they were before this began. I want to see Jesus, maybe in the clouds or on the shore, just walking. Beautiful man, and clearly someone else besides. On the hard days, I ask myself if I ever will. Also, there are times my body whispers to me that I have. In this remarkable poem, I think Mary Oliver is trying to say that she knows deep within her being that God exists and that God is there for her. But sometimes the cruel realities of life prevent her from feeling God's presence. Yet, even within these doubts and uncertainty, she sometimes experiences the peaceful hand of God. In this story from Luke, we learn that in hard times, we do not need to be anxious or distressed. And in particular, if we find ourselves apart from God, we do not need to go on a desperate search. God is always with us, and with us in all ways. Jesus said, "Why were you looking? Would you not know that I was here?" In times of trouble, God is with us, even if it seems like she is far, far away. What we often need to do in such times is stop rushing around and look for God in perhaps the last place that we thought we would find him. To paraphrase the hymn, St. Patrick's Breastplate, God is within me, behind me, before me, beside me, beneath me, above me, in quiet, in danger, in hearts of all that love me, in the mouth of friend and stranger. If God seems lost to you, be still and know that God is there. That, like Jesus in the temple, God is where God must be.